A reading from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 21 through 35. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So I want you to take a moment and think about the last time you were driving, like I am, from point A to point B. Doesn't particularly matter what point A or point B is. It could be home to the grocery store, or work to home, or whatever it is. What matters is that along the way, you just drive by instinct. You drive by homes and shops and stores, and you don't really pay attention to them because they just are not that important. What's important is getting from point A to point B. And I offer you that thought as you think about the last drive you took, because that's the way I've always felt about this scripture passage. I've always thought about this as that in-between stuff, that stuff that's not particularly important, that I don't have to pay much attention to, because what I want to do is I want to get from point A, all of the wonderful birth stories about Jesus and angels, and get to point B, which is Jesus' ministry. And so over most of my career, I have just run right past this passage. And in many ways, that would seem to make sense, right? Because if you actually look at this passage, there doesn't appear to be much that is particularly important or interesting in it. And to make my point, let's just do a quick recap over the passage. So the passage begins with Jesus being circumcised. His parents are good Jews, and so on the eighth day, they understand that that's what they are supposed to do. And so they do it. Second thing is they have to go and dedicate Jesus to God in the temple. The reason they have to dedicate him in the temple is because, according to Jewish tradition, each firstborn was dedicated to God. And so essentially the tradition was you bought them back from God with an offering. And so once Mary has finished her ritual of purification, which is something every new mother had to do in Judaism, they went down to the temple, they gave an offering, the what's called the poor person's offering of two turtle doves or two pigeons. And then after they did that, they have this interesting but really for Jesus not being all that out of the ordinary encounter with this guy named Simeon. Now, Simeon is this dude who has been hanging out at the temple because he believes that he will not die until he sees the Messiah. And then one day he sees Mary and Joseph coming, and they have Jesus cradled in their arms, and Simeon takes him probably out of Mary's arms and gives thanks to God that here is the Messiah. Doesn't seem to be much out of the ordinary there, right? It's just like here. It's just this stuff you drive by to get from point A to point B. Except, there is one word in there that should give us pause, and that word is amazed. That when Simeon says to Mary and Joseph what he does about Jesus being the Savior, the Messiah, the salvation of the world, they're amazed. And the question is, why in the world should they be amazed? I mean, again, think about it. Think about the story. They should have known all of this already. So you begin with the fact that Mary, this whole thing starts with Mary getting a visit from an angel saying, hey, guess what? You're going to have a baby. I know you're a virgin. The Holy Spirit's going to do something fantastic in you, and your son will be Savior of the world. Okay, there's the number first thing. Second thing, Joseph, he gets his own visit from an angel. And the angel basically says the same thing to him. Says, don't divorce Mary. You just go ahead and take care of her. And the baby born is going to save God's people. Great. Then after Jesus is born, you have the shepherds show up. And they've had angels appear to them, telling them that they're going to find the Savior of the world in Bethlehem. And finally, you have the visit in Matthew of the wise men who come and give gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So you would think by the time Simeon in the temple comes to Mary and Joseph and says, oh, look, your son is going to save the world, you would think they would go, sure, yeah, we know. Our kid's going to be great. So thanks a bunch. We know this already. See ya. But instead, they're amazed. So the question is, why are they so amazed? And my answer is, because that's who Jesus is. Jesus is always the one who amazes. And I say that because if we continue the gospel story, it doesn't matter which of the gospels, Mary and Joseph never get it. Mary especially doesn't ever really understand her son. When Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple, essentially for his bar mitzvah when he becomes an adult at 11 or 12, they're amazed that he's in the temple talking with the teachers. Why should they be amazed? And then when Jesus begins his ministry, Mary goes out with Jesus' brothers and sisters, and yes, Jesus has brothers and sisters, by the way, and they go out to take him home. They think he's lost his mind. They need to drag him back to take care of his duties and obligations as the firstborn. They never really get it. And it's not just Mary or Mary and Joseph. It's the disciples. It doesn't matter how many times Jesus feeds 5,000 people. They're always amazed. It doesn't matter how many times Jesus stills a storm or heals a leper or forgives a woman caught in adultery. They're always amazed. Jesus is the one who is constantly doing the unexpected. He is the one that no one really fully understands. And so there's little wonder that Mary and Joseph are amazed, because everybody else is as well. And the fact is that we should still be amazed. But unfortunately, I think for a lot of us, we're not. that somehow we have become so accustomed to Jesus that he's no longer amazing. It's as if we have sort of domesticated Jesus. You know, if we're a conservative, we've made Jesus into a conservative like us. If we're a liberal, we've made Jesus into a liberal like us. If we are lonely, we make Jesus into our best buddy, a good friend. We just see this different domesticated Jesus who seems incapable of amazing us. But the fact is that Jesus is always more than we think he is. Jesus is always the one who amazes. Jesus is the one who amazes when he totally and radically transforms our lives and heals us from the inside out. Jesus is the one who amazes us because Jesus can take churches and give them new life and new direction and cause people to say, wow, I never thought we could do that. Jesus is the one who totally transforms cultures and can help cultures do away with issues of race and sexual orientation and gender, and can make communities and cultures into radically inclusive communities in which all people are welcomed and are insiders and not outsiders. This is the amazing Jesus that we're not supposed to ever fully understand. This is the amazing Jesus that we are always to be open to the truly transforming things, radical transforming things that he can do. And so my challenge for all of us as we go from point A to point B is to pause. To pause between the angels and the shepherds and Jesus's ministry and allow ourselves to be amazed. To allow ourselves to be amazed by all that Jesus Christ can do, is doing, and will do in our lives, in our church, in our communities, and in the world. And so that's my challenge to you for 2021, is to ask yourself, how am I allowing this Jesus to amaze me? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that your Son is always the one who amazes us, who transforms us, who renews us. Help us to be amazed by him in this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen.